him. All right, I'm going to give you all a quick Christmas message, all right? Then we'll go to Acts chapter 5, verse 17. How many of y'all need a Wednesday night meeting? I do. The day I had, man, I'll tell you right now, I was waiting for 7 o'clock. Here it is, John. Here's John's version of the Christmas story. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Christmas message over. That's pretty good, isn't it? John got right to the midst of it. Right? Didn't give you any lineage, didn't give you any background. Said, the one who created the world, God, came into the world, and the world didn't know him. Man, that's what you call boiling her down. Amen? All right, see, that message didn't work. Let's go to the next one. Amen. Acts chapter 5, verse 17, and we're going to be a while. This is going to be expository type preaching, so you take notes in your heart, head, mind, and paper if you would. We're just going to preach till we get done. Can we pray? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, let us decrease as you increase. Speak to the need in the house, whatever it might be. You're God, we're not. You're holy, we're not. You're righteous, we're not. We needed everything that you had. Lord, we stand here, we're literally useless without you. God, we pray that you'd just have a way with us tonight. Lord, we made it to the worship part. Let us get to this part right here that we can go out better than we came in. We had an opportunity to come before the throne of grace with our worship, with our praise. Now we come to an opportunity to learn more about you, draw closer to you, and understand more about you. And go out of here changed men and women. Lord, forgive us of our sins and trespasses, as we forgive others their sins and trespasses. Jesus. Amen. Acts chapter 5, verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. This is expository type preaching. We're going to go line by line. We're going to miss some. We're going to try to get as much as God has given me to preach to you tonight, okay? But I want you to know this. The Sadducees rose up. You can write down right there in your mind, make a note. The religious crowd rose up. The hypocritical religious people rose up. Why did they rise up? Go back. When you get a chance, read Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 4, and the beginning of Acts chapter 5. People were getting saved. Lives were being changed. Amen? There was some wild stuff happening that was scaring people, but the church was still being added to. People were being healed. People were receiving salvation, and they couldn't stand it because their power was being taken away. You might want to write this down somewhere in your notes. You can tell a person who's hypocritical or religious because they get mad when God's stuff's going on. Just listen to someone. Just listen to them and what they say when the Spirit of God's moving. When somebody's getting saved. When somebody's joining the church. When the church is growing. Just listen to how they say. Are they angry? Are they happy? Are they excited? Are they mad? Just listen to what they're saying. And listen, and you can tell right away where they're dealing with. Then you can understand what you need to do. You need to disregard them and move on. Praise God. Disregard them and move on. What do you mean? Aren't you supposed to stand there and wrestle with them and argue with them and confront them and change them? No, you're supposed to go to the people that God has sent you to. Amen? People that aren't happy when God's moving, when Jesus is saving, when Jesus is healing, when God's filling up the church, not this church, but the kingdom church, then guess what? If they're not happy with that, they're definitely not going to be happy with you. And you can move right along smoothly. Are we going to do that? Probably not, but keep wrestling. You'll get tired of it. Verse 18, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, aren't you glad that God can find you in a dark time? Say amen again, we'll preach a lot harder. Amen? Listen, I'm telling you, aren't you glad that God can find you in a dark time? When you feel like everybody's against you, God's not against you. Amen? Listen, they were just doing what God told them to do and doing it the way God told them to do it, and they threw them in prison, but then God dispatched an angel. Praise God. Hallelujah. He dispatched an angel. That means God on the throne sent a word. Amen? Sent a word. He said, listen, them boys don't think I know where they're at. They think the world's against them, but the world is against them, but I'm not. Amen? God will find you in the dark places. Just get busy doing what you're doing. Amen? Just get busy serving God with what you're supposed to be doing. And when you're in the darkest place in your life, God will send somebody to help you. Well, I count on that. You better start counting on it. If you're a Christian, count on it. If you get busy doing what you're supposed to do, you'll be in some dark places, but God will send a light. Man, I could leave and we've already had a good word. Amen. Go stand. Verse 20. Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Aren't you amazing? Aren't you amazed that right after a dark place, there's an amazing light place? Right after they were at their lowest point, God puts them in their highest point. Man, somebody write this down. You might get challenged and tested to the point of breaking, but right after that, God's going to use that to help somebody else. How many times have God took you through a valley of life, and on the other side of that valley, you were a better minister, a better teacher, a better man, or a better woman? Amen. Ain't that amazing how that works? They were in the prison, and they were real low, and they had nobody to depend on but God. Then God sent somebody, and when God sent somebody, then He said, go do something. They probably thought at one time, what are we going to do from God? We're locked up. God said, I'm just preparing you in this place. Are you good? You're going to hear this word a lot in this message tonight, obedience. And I don't care who you're obedient to as long as you're obedient to God. I don't even care if you're obedient to me. If you're obedient to God, you'll line up pretty good. Amen. Oh, never mind. You must not agree with that. I agree with it. Amen. Because guess what? I guarantee none of them felt like they were qualified. They probably didn't think they were clean enough, smart enough. They didn't probably think they was well enough because they were in prison. And they were in the common prison. Back then, that's a third world prison. They're sitting down there in the bottom of a prison, and it ain't nice. And they're sitting down there, and they probably had every emotion you can have. Then God breaks them out and says, go preach. Never mind. Have you ever had a bad day, and then God say, go preach? Go stand. What are all the words of this life? Forget everything else and go after Jesus. I'm telling you that. Listen, you can't have any good life without Jesus in it. You can have what this world considers the greatest life ever and not have Christ. You are an ultimate failure. You can have nothing this world considers nice and have Jesus and you're an ultimate success. Man, ain't that great? Go stand. Listen, obedience. When God says go, are y'all look down there in verse 20? Do y'all see that first word? That might need to be some of y'all's new life verse. The whole verse? Nope, just the first word. Go. Amen? Go. Go, go, go. Amen? Some of y'all are saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. No, just go, go, go. Get obedient and go where God tells you to go. Stand in that obedience. And it might, listen, can I preach it this way? Can I calm down and just preach this to you real quick? Even if it looks good or if it looks insignificant. Even if it looks amazing or if it looks insignificant. You can preach to some people that you think are significant or you can preach to people that are insignificant. You can live your life before people that you think significant or insignificant. But guess what? Go anyway and be obedient anyway because some of the places that you think are insignificant, somebody's there that needs God and it's really going to change. And the people you think that are significant, that room might not ever hear you and you'll sit there and waste all your time and effort and they'll all go away empty. I'll preach if you don't believe me. 5,000 people were fed with the bread and loaves and they all walked away. The next time they found Jesus, they were still looking for the loaves and the fishes. Amen? Out of that bunch, 12 of them knew what they were looking for. Amen? Y'all good? So listen, if you don't think, my ministry, I love this stuff. I hear stuff like this all the time. It's going to help some of you preachers if you'll listen. You got a big ministry. There's no such thing as a big ministry, and there's no such thing as a little ministry. Ministry is ministry. If you're not willing to do it in front of one, you ain't never going to be willing to do it in front of a million. And if you wouldn't do it for one, then you ain't worth doing it in front of me. I don't care if you are. Well, that's just good preaching. I better move on or we'll be here all night. Can y'all feel that sarcastic spirit that's in there? I'm sorry, but it's there. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they were with him, and they called the council together and all the sin of the children of Israel sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the door. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Aren't y'all, ain't that awesome? I mean, golly bum, ain't God good? God's going to, man, I wish somebody would shout in here every once in a while. You know what? God's good. God will get you out of some trouble that some people think you're still in. Hallelujah! Praise God! I mean, some people will still think you're in the dungeon or the prison or the sin that they thought you were in, but God's done broke you out and set you free and sent you somewhere else, And they're still watching guard to see if you're going to be there. God's good. I mean, they're still, well, we better go around and check on him. He's probably all drunk. He's probably high. Probably still lying. Probably still doing his thing. Praise God, you ain't even there anymore. Hey, did y'all notice that? That I love these Holy Ghost breakouts. I love when God sends the angels to break you out of prison and nobody knows it but him. I mean, that guard's still standing out front doing his job. We're here to get the boys. All right, we'll get them. We're not in there. Well, ain't it fun sometimes? Some of y'all, if you don't shout right here, I might go preach to somebody else. Listen, I'm serious. Ain't it good when somebody tries and they got an expectation for your life and God don't let them meet it? No, somebody expects to find you in a certain place doing real bad, but then they have to admit that they didn't find you there. Man, I'm glad, aren't you? I'm glad God sometimes cancels other people's expectations for my life. Whew. What's he doing now? You won't believe it. That's what I like. Amen? I had to go back up there and tell him. Verse 24, now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief heard these things, they doubted of them wherein they would grow. Amen? Verse 24, can we dig a little? First thing they was worried about was other people. Oh, gosh. Mark, I'll come down there and grab you by both lapels and preach this to you. Stop worrying about what other people think. I mean, that's just not for him. That's for everybody. I want to grab every Christian in here and say, stop worrying about what everybody else thinks. Amen? Who cares? If you're being obedient to God, I think you should do this. I don't care. That's awesome. I don't care. Listen, hey. Found them down there. They was down there teaching in the synagogue. They was down there teaching, doing what they're supposed to do. They can't find them. Let me read it. I got off subject when I said I don't care. When the captain of the officers and brought them without violence, verse 24. Now when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted themselves. Okay, they were worried about the people. Yes. I'll catch that thought and wrap her up. Hey, look. The people, their first thought on their mind, these people are going to get all excited and they'll think God's with them. And they, listen, that's what hypocrites do. That's what other religious, they're always putting their stuff on everybody else. And number two, they're always concerned. They'll always try to do what the crowd wants them to do. Because if they do what people want them to do, they feel like they've been vindicated. See, Jesus was hung on a cross because Pontius Pilate couldn't make a decision without offending somebody. You need to write this down. If you're going to be a Christian worth any salt in your life, you are going to offend some people. Amen? And here's what he said. He said, I don't want to crucify him, but the Jews want him crucified. And if I set him free, I'm going to have to answer to them. But I know that this ain't the right thing to do. Amen? These religious people said, well, we need to do something to these boys that broke out of prison and are down at the temple preaching, but we can't do nothing to them because if we do, then the people will be mad at us. Ain't that a miserable place to live? God sets you free to do what you're supposed to be doing for Him and not worry about what everybody thinks about you. That's exciting. Now, I'm not. Now, if you sit there and if you're hearing this with a weird ear and you're sitting there going, well, Kevin, send me, I can live any way I want to. I'm talking about if you're in the obedience. These men were down at the temple preaching the Word of God. If you're living your life right before God, stop worrying about everything. Man, if I stopped doing what I was doing because everybody who says something, they didn't agree with this or don't like that or didn't do that, I'd be paralyzed. I'd be standing there going, I don't know what to do. Sometimes you just got to, sorry about your feelings. I love you. We're going to try to do what's right before God. And everybody can jump on or jump off. Whoa, never mind. You're in danger ground, preacher. If we're in dangerous ground for doing what God's doing, we're not in dangerous ground. Amen. Then when the captain of the officers and brought them without violence. Do you notice that? Okay. For they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. They didn't want to get beat up for taking their preachers away. In verse 27, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, verse 28, this is exciting stuff, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in his name. And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man blood upon us. Yes! You're right! That's what we in folly intend to do! Got me! But did you see him? Look, God, can y'all handle me? Can y'all handle this right here? It's so good. Jesus broke them out of prison. And they didn't know how. They didn't even know why or where they were. But then when they find them, they were down at the house of God. But then they brought them back up there and set them before an important board of religious people. Didn't we tell you not to? What? I mean, couldn't you figure out when you seen God moving on their lives? Couldn't you figure out when you couldn't keep them in the prison that you're fighting something you can't win? I mean, could you ever just look at it and say, wait a minute, God seems to be on their side. I love that. They seem to be fighting for them, okay? So guess what? They didn't ever say that. Didn't we tell you, right? Oh, this is good. This is young. It's good. Didn't we tell you? You're trying to put... Listen, did they already have the guilt of Jesus Christ on them? Yeah. First thing to talk about, you're trying to put this man's blood on us. No, it's on you. Amen? It's on you. It's always on you. Everybody in here knows it, ain't you? I knew it my whole life. God's, hey, his blood was on me the whole way. I just knew that I had to do something with Jesus. I knew it when I started realizing I was, there was sin, there was stuff wrong, I knew that I had to do something with Jesus. You talk to people and you minister to them all the time and you think they need something different. We talk about different kind of people and different kinds of sin. We say, well, how do you minister to this and how do you minister to that? You don't minister anything differently. You just tell them about Jesus. They're dealing with Jesus on the inside one way or the other. They're either going to accept him or reject him. Our job is just to deliver. Amen? It ain't anything else. Verse 29 gets better. Then Peter and the other apostle answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. You need to get verse 29 as a little old life verse too, amen? I really don't care what man says if God says, because there's been plenty of men, and I'm going to put this back down and tame it down just a little bit, because I want you to get this, because I want you to hear it. And sometimes you might think I'm preaching always about contrary, because there is a lot of contrary. But I want you to hear this. There are some good people. They love you. And tell them some stuff that God's told you to do, and it's going to scare them. Amen? And when you tell them that God told you that, it's going to be contrary to what... And it's not because they're against you and it's not because they're against God. They just hadn't got the same revelation that you got. They didn't get it. You did. And that's why... And God wants you to trust in Him. I ain't going to get into examples, but you can just go to Abraham right away. I'm sure when he went to his mom and dad and said, I'm leaving. Where are you going? I don't know. Well, that's a good plan, son. Who told you to go? This God that nobody's ever heard before, he said, just come out of there and I'm going. Okay, you got me now. Sometimes people, I'm not talking about contrary people, but I've had some people, and you'll have them too, you'll say, God said, and they will come, and they will blow some wind in your sail the opposite way, because guess what? They'll say, do that, that's scary. That'll ruin your life. You'll never live that way. You'll never make it financially. You'll never, whatever they say, you know what I mean? But if God said it, you can't listen to them. Scary, ain't it? Scary? But is there anybody in here, you can just smile, have you ever tried that? Amen. I love that. Amen. I had some time, but listen, I found out early that when you start departing, come on, I'm preaching. Hey, when you start departing from God's plan that He's laid on your heart, those first four or five steps they will wear you out. Come on, help me. Now listen, we're not always obedient, remember? God will say, hey, I want you to do this, and you say, but I got a job and I got a wife and I got a house and I got a kid, hello. And you start drifting. Like you're going to go down the wrong one, and God says, now you keep on stepping, you're going to really mess up. Amen? Right? Come on. If y'all would be real with me, that's real. You know that right there I just preached is real as anything else, because some of us have thought about, you know what I mean? God gives us some radical thought we've been praying about, and God says, hey, I want you to go here and do this. And you're like, financially, that don't make no sense. Time in my life don't make no sense. Education level don't make no sense. Right? Yeah, but God, hey, God's God. You're not. Amen? Y'all liking this? Man, that's hitting you right in the running. Right, that hits you right there. If you'll let that sink in, You'll stop worrying about what everybody else says about it and stop trying to get everybody's opinion. When God says to do it, do it. Man, now I've done this about 8 or 10 times now. I know it's scary. Praise God, I'm glad. I'm so glad looking back that I never said no, you know. I told y'all about that box. Boy, I almost stayed in the supply room driving me an old box truck. Oh, I'm glad I didn't keep driving that truck. Amen. Whew, y'all ready? Verse 30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Man, that ain't politically correct, is it? He just laid it right off on them, didn't he? The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. You crucified him. Me and you, we crucified him. We put him on that tree. Our sin hung him on that tree. And man, you're guilty. You're standing there guilty. Now look, I'm telling you, these boys thought they were in an authoritative role. They're looking down at him, out of this Sanhedrin, out of this board, and they're looking at him, and he's looking back at him and said, no. Y'all, you need this Jesus, you need him. Because you crucified him and you hang him on a tree, but he's alive. Man, can you deal with the power? Man, that's good stuff. I love the power. Verse 31, him that God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Verse 32, who did he give it to? To them that obey him. You're gonna leave here. If you don't leave anything else when you leave here, leave with this one word. Be obedient to God. I said, man really don't matter. And if you think from God, if God ain't burdening your heart about it, I don't care if a man gets in front of you and tells you what, you got to be here, you got to be here, you got to be here. You look at him and smile and say, thank you, friend, but no thank you. I'm old enough and smart enough and wise enough and know God enough to be where God wants me to be. Thank you. Okay, good. Good. That's something. It's quiet in here. I like that. We are witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given us to them that obey him. Listen, if you get obedient to the Lord is going to put his Spirit inside of you. And guess what he's going to do? He's going to send you, and he's going to empower you. Amen? And you ain't even going to know where that power comes from. But when you're obedient and you're sold out to God and your spirit filled, guess what? Listen, you're going to go and do some things, and you're going to, every once in a while, you're going to look around and you go, how did I get here? Because I'm not capable. I'm not smart enough. I don't know enough people. I'm not well. I didn't do anything. And you know what? It's going to be because of that thing that's on the inside of you. Because that's the great thing about God. He died on a cross that we might receive the Holy Spirit, that we can be God's representation on the face of this planet. Ain't that nice? And there's a power, amen, from on high. And we got that. But you got to be obedient. Some of you young people need to hear me. I don't know why you're here tonight, but I want you to hear me. Be obedient to God, even when everybody else is not being obedient. You say, why do you always listen to the young people? Because some of the old people are older now, and they ain't never listened to that. And they still won't listen. They won't be obedient. So I'm hoping that you're young enough. Hey, listen, the whole world can go this way. If you'll go with God, I guarantee you, your life in the long run will be better than the people who didn't go with God. And if I'm wrong, meet me in 30 years. And if I die before then, meet me in glory. I'll meet you right inside the eastern gate. And you can tell me I was wrong. But you won't. But you won't. Because the devil will lie to you and tell you there's a way. It's a better way. And everybody going down that wrong path will make it look like it's the funnest time in their life, and they're all scared and miserable, mad, upset, and hurt. And they'll be looking for somebody who's walking the right path if you choose it. Is it easy? No. Is it easy to do at your age? No. If I was going to ask some of these older people, here, is it easy to do at your age? If they'd be truthful, they'd say, no. I'll answer for them then. Amen? Verse 33, and when they heard that, they were cut to their heart and took counsel to slay them. Whew. That puts you in peril when you do the right thing. Then stood up there, listen, verse 34 gets good. Then stood up there one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had a reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles for a little peace. Aren't you glad that God can even lift up somebody in your enemy to defend you? Somebody who you thought was against you is for you. Somebody who is there should be condemning you. All of a sudden, God will even use them. God can use anybody. I bet them old boys sit there going, man, we're about to die. These guys are mad. Now listen, can I preach just a little bit right here back against this grain? Look who's standing up and telling it's Peter. It's the same guy who denied him, the same one who denied Jesus, the one who, I mean, man, God restored him good, ain't he? He's standing up strong. Why? Because that was before the Holy Spirit was given. He's received it, and guess what? He can stand strong, and so can you. When times get tough, you don't have to fold like a cheap tent. You can stand there in it, amen? And no matter what happens, but listen, I want y'all to get this because I don't want to press on past this part right here. Some of us quit, or some of us miss this opportunity because right here there's a fine place to quit. Y'all good? When somebody gets mad at us or upset with what we're doing, we might want to have the attempt right here to shut her down. But look, I want you to see it. If you shut her down right there, guess what? Then they wouldn't get to see God work through Gamaliel. You understand? See, sometimes we try to manipulate the situation and say, well, if they want to do this, we might need to advocate for ourselves. That means we might try to get ourselves out of some trouble. Amen? But what they did is they kept pressing. Now listen, I'm not trying to tell you to do something radical. I'm trying to tell you to be obedient to God. God put them there to minister. He sent them to the temple to preach. He's got them in front of the Sanhedrin. So he's got no plan for them to be anywhere else. Now, if they were disobedient or standing there when they weren't supposed to be, this wouldn't be happening. They'd just get ran over. Now listen, there's a whole different message here. If you're standing in some places you're not supposed to be standing, your ministry's going, let me go ahead and keep this. Because there's verses for that. I get ahead of myself. Well, they put them out of the room. Verse 35, and they said, and said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400 joining themselves, who was slain, and all as many obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the day of the taxing and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if the council, for if this council or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you can overthrow it, lest happily you be found even to fight against God. What is some awesome advice from a good man? Amen? What did he say? He said, if this is of God, if this is not of God and it's just these men, it's going to burn out anyway. Man, I'm going to be honest with you. Listen, friend, I ain't afraid of people telling me stuff. Listen, you do what God tells you to do, and if God's in it, it ain't ever going to quit. It'll keep going on and on and on. Amen? And it's one of the most beautiful things because it won't be a 4-year thing, a 5-year thing. It'll be a 20 and 30-year thing. And you know what? Here's what your thoughts should be. If somebody finds you 5 years from now, let them find you serving God. If they find you 10 years from now, let them find you serving God. Maybe not in the same capacity, maybe not in the same place, but serving the same God wherever you're at. You know how awesome that will feel? You know how good that feels? Hey, some of you in here know it. You absolutely know it. Let me tell you this. If you're not in the place where God wants you to be, and you're not being obedient to what God wants you to do, and you're calling that ministry, guess what? It will fail. It will fail and fall apart. And that ain't me talking. That's God talking. And that's just absolutely true. I've seen ministries and churches and stuff go under because people are trying to do it in their own strength. They're just doing their own thing, doing whatever they thought was right to do. Listen, do what God wants you to do. Now listen, can we go the other? Let's go up the other side because that's even better. That's funner, right? But if it be of God, verse 39, you cannot overthrow it, lest happily you found even to fight against God. Listen, let that minister to you. If God calls you into anything, stop with all the excuses. Because if God calls you to it, He'll see you through it. You know that word, right? That's the old bumper sticker slogan. But I want you to get this. I want you to let it minister to you. Everything in the world, and even hell, all hell, the devil can come against you. If God's in it, it ain't going nowhere. And your worst critic, the person who's against you the hardest, will eventually have to say, well, God, he's still there. you still there. Don't you every once in a while want the devil to go, man, I wish God would take that on home. Amen. I'm tired of wrestling with that. Amen. But listen, I want y'all to get that. Let's read it again and we'll go on. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. Lest happily you found it. Even to fight against God. God can't help, man. I know you've been here so long and you're drained. But I was looking forward to coming. It reminds me of the little old girl who brought the alabaster box of ointment. Everybody in the room was against her. Amen. She came in the room and was going to give God her very best. Y'all know every one of you in here, man, that old preacher, he preached that all the time. Yeah, keep coming. I'll preach it again. It's one of my favorite messages. It's my favorite thought. She came in there and she done what God sent her down there to do because nobody else would do it. In both incidents. The one before his burial and the one when he came into the house and nobody took care of him before he came in the house. You say, which one's your favorite? They're both my favorite. But one of them's more applicable to our day today. We have service, but we don't have Jesus. We ask Jesus to come in, but we won't take care of Jesus. We take care of ourselves. We want to have a good time, but we don't care if Jesus is having it. God, man, I feel the Holy Spirit. Jesus walked in the room, man invited him, said, will you come here and sit down in my house? And God, he didn't wash his feet. He didn't give him fragrance to cover the smell of the road. And he sat there and he's wondering the whole time. You asked me to come into your house, but you don't even care about me. Are you trying to show me how good you are, or do you want to see how good I am? Sometimes we want to show God how good we are when we ain't no good. Golly, I'm preaching to somebody. Y'all better get this. Then here comes a little old woman, sinner. Walks in the room. You got apostles, disciples, and Pharisees. Walks in the room uninvited. Probably thinking, I don't belong to you. There's somebody in the room that called me. Walks in the room, breaks the alabaster box of ointment, pours it all over Jesus, and everybody in the room is against her. But she never defended herself. Jesus did. If you're doing the right thing, you don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to fight and argue and wrestle and tell your point of it. God will fight for you. And if God ain't fighting for you, then you're going to lose. But if God's fighting for you, keep your head down and keep serving in that capacity. And when it's all said and done, you'll still be standing and they'll all be gone. Does that matter? Because he knew that woman, who she was, she's a sinner. Jesus, man, this is the best story in the Bible. Y'all like the word? Leans over and taps Peter and says, Peter, got a little situation here. Man, sometimes Peter was so smart, and sometimes he was... But here was a smart time. He said there was a man that owed 5,000, and there was another one who owed 50. Something like that, 550, whatever you want. And he said there was a man who loaned them both, and then he just frankly forgave both of them their debt. Which one do you think is more great? He goes, the one who got forgiven of a lot. He said, yeah, that's what's going on in this room. There's one in here that got forgiven of a lot, and they're in the floor right now worshiping me and praising me, and there's somebody going to leave out of here with a little. And if they leave out of here with a little, they might as well left out of here with a lot. Because you can drown in 6,000 feet of water, or you can drown in a teaspoon of water, you're still drowning. Some people think they're mighty strong Christians. Amen? And they'll jump out of a boat and they'll swim almost to shore and drown. And there's some weak more, they'll jump out of a boat and they only made it 5 or 6 feet and drown. Guess what? They both drown. We need Jesus to tow us to the line. Amen? That's how we get to heaven. It's Jesus. It is. Verse 40. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles, God, this gets good. Y'all want me to leave verse 40 out and just preach 41? And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them. Now they're going to set them free, but they just could have beaten on them anyway. I'll read it again, it's fine. To him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles, they beat them. They'd beaten them. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. God, this is so good. Y'all ready for this? This is the book of Acts. This is the New Testament church. This is who we're supposed to be. And they departed in the presence of the council, rejoicing. Holy, oh my gosh, do you hear that? Man, we complain about everything. These old boys got stripes all over their back. They've been beaten in prison for no good reason. And they walked out of there, look, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. Man, I bet they look like a bunch of dudes coming from a party. Oh, I'm sorry. Dude, they beat us senseless. Praise God. God thinks enough of us to let us take a whooping for Him. Might never. That's a crazy concept. You better live your best life now. The more blessed you are, the more God loves you. That's totally opposite. God loves me because He let me take a beating for Him. And they were rejoiced. Do you know how many people probably got added to the church? You ready for the kicker? What did he tell them? You take this beating and you're going to stop, right? Verse 42. And daily. Yes. Thank you, Arthur. And daily in the temple. I just want to cry. And in every house. And they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They poured on steam. Oh, you want us to stop? Oh, we'll do the opposite. We'll preach in the temple and in the house and in the street then. Because these whoopings are really good. Guys, this is the church. This is the New Testament church. You're going to suffer. You're going to go through some stuff. But be obedient to God. And when you come through it, you'll be rejoicing. And guess what? You'll want to go do something else. And you'll want to see the exploits of God again. You'll go through some crazy stuff. And somebody somewhere else will say, man, they've got a tough life. They had to go through this. But then you'll say, no. We've seen God deliver. We've seen God heal. We've seen God supply our need when we didn't think we were going to make it. I'd rather be on the edge with God and watching Him deliver than be real comfortable and never see Him do anything. I don't know about you. I wanted to hear a Christmas message, but this is like Christmas to me. Two takeaways from this message. Hopefully you can do them. Be obedient to God. Don't worry about what other people think. If God tells you to do it, just do it. And smile. Let's all stand.